Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the full year results announcement conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Monday, the 22nd of August, 2016. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Timothy Collier. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the annual results presentation for Growthpoint Properties Australia for the year ended 30th of June 2016. My name is Tim Collier, the Managing Director of Growthpoint. Here with me today is Aaron Hockley, Chief Operating Officer, Michael Green, Head of Property, and Dion Andrews, CFO. We'll run through the results presentation announced to the ASX today and then take your questions. At the outset, I'd like to say the board and management are pleased with the results, the achievements of the year, our position and future prospects. I'll skip through the overview of Growthpoint on slide 5. And I'll move to slide 6, the key results for financial year 16. Firstly, strategy and performance. Growthpoint had a total security holder return of 7.4% for financial year 2016 and has returned 19.6% per annum over the last 5 years. Distributable income akin to underlying earnings was above guidance provided at the start of the year of at least 21.3 cents per security at 21.9 cents per security. This is growth of 3.3% on financial year 15. We have provided guidance of at least 22.2 cents per security distributable income for this financial year, prior to the earnings accretion from the GMF transaction and other capital management initiatives. Of course, investors will know that we made a takeover offer for GMF, which is the GPT Metro Office Fund, on the 1st of July 2016, after strong competition from another party. We are pleased to have received the independent board committee's recommendation to GMF holders to accept the Growthpoint offer, and with Growthpoint's 13% interest and acceptances to date, acceptances total 47%. It is anticipated the offer will be unconditional shortly, past 50.1% acceptances, and then we will proceed to close the offer in due course. This takeover, together with the Rabanoff Property Trust takeover in 2011, will have added around $620 million of quality assets to the group. M&A activity remains a key platform for growth for the group going forward. I'll move to slide 7. And discuss briefly the main points regarding the property portfolio. Growthpoint had an outstanding financial year 2016 with leasing and acquisitions to improve the portfolio, add value to the portfolio, and of course provide for a long-term growing rental cash flow from quality tenants. Of note was 59,000 square metres of new and extended leases, including taking the 333 Ann Street Brisbane property occupancy from 41 to 80%. 39,000 square metres has been leased since 30th of June, with the highlight being the 23,000 square metres of leasing in buildings 1 and 2 at Botanica Corporate Office Park in Richmond, to Country Road and David Jones for their new national headquarters, which has been relocated from Sydney. These leases commence after the existing tenant GE vacates, in 2017 and 2018 and averaged 14.5 years. Another highlight was five property acquisitions which were acquired for $328 million, including three office A-grade office buildings and two industrial properties with a weighted average lease expiry of 7.2 years. Michael Green will talk about those further. Growthpoint Properties showed valuation gains of $130 million over the year, which is about 5.5% on a like-for-like basis. So the portfolio now totals $2.8 billion with an average market capitalization rate of 6.9%. 12 months ago, the average capitalization rate was 7.3%. With a very strong leasing outcome and acquisitions of properties that have long-term leases, the weighted average lease expiry at 30th of June 2016 is 6.9 years, above the 30th of June 2015 weighted average lease expiry of 6.7 years. So despite a year passing, the WALE has gone back up. The WALE of the portfolio would be one of the longest in the A-REIT sector. I'll move to slide 8, financial management. Our guidance for financial year 2016 of a distribution per security of 20.5 cents was achieved. This was 4.1% higher than the prior year. Guidance for this year is 21.3 cents per security, or growth of 3.9%. As discussed before, we will review this guidance during the year for completion of the GMF transaction and other capital management initiatives. Gearing increased primarily to fund acquisitions, including our interest in GMF, to 42.6% within the target range of 35 to 45%. NTA per unit increased to $2.67 by 7.7%, primarily due to valuation increases for the group's property portfolio. During the year, we undertook another debt capital markets transaction, being an issue of a $250 million 7-year fixed interest rate debt instrument. As at June 2016, the average debt term was 4.2 years. We will consider issuing more long-term debt this financial year. So a year of considerable growth where the property portfolio has positioned very well, underpinning consistently growing distributions to security holders over the medium term. I will now hand over to Aaron Hockley, our Chief Operating Officer.
Thanks, Tim. Turning to slide 10, which shows our very transparent business model as a pure landlord. We acquire real property for the long term, lease it to quality tenants, undertake asset management, including asset disposals, pay relatively minimal costs, and distribute most of the rest of the property income to our security holders. Growthpoint seeks to provide security holders with a stable and growing income stream. Then to slide 11. As Tim mentioned, on the 1st of July 2016, Growthpoint released its bidder statement for the takeover of the GPT Metro Office Fund, which currently trades under the ASX code GMF. Growthpoint's offer is 50% cash and 50% scrip, but GMF holders have the option to take 100% through a cash-out facility backed by our major security holder, Growthpoint Properties of South Africa. Our offer was subsequently recommended by the independent board of GMF, and Growthpoint has a 47% interest in GMF as of this morning. Based on discussions with other GMF holders, we expect to reach above 50.1% shortly, and assuming continued progress with the other conditions, declare our offer unconditional. We hope to achieve 90% or above acceptances before the end of the offer period, which is currently the 2nd of September 2016, allowing us to proceed to compulsory acquisition and to delist GMF. However, if we don't reach 90%, we currently expect to replace the existing responsible entity with our own and run the fund as a separate entity. As noted in our ASX releases, we expect GMF to be between 4.1% and 4.9% accretive to pro forma FY17 distributable income guidance, depending on our level of ownership and the timing of replacing the responsible entity. We will update the market fully as we progress. Growthpoint security holders have an ability to acquire additional Growthpoint securities at $3.15 at the end of the offer period in respect of GMF unit holders who select the 100% cash option. Entitlements will be according to holdings on 30 June 2016, with security holders other than Growthpoint South Africa being able to oversubscribe. Growthpoint South Africa will take up its full entitlement and will also acquire any available securities not taken up by other security holders. Again, we will update the market as soon as material information is available. Turning to slide 12, GMF comprises six A-grade office assets, four of which are in Sydney Olympic Park, one is in Fortitude Valley in Brisbane, and one is in Melbourne's inner east suburb of Hawthorne. The assets are highly complementary to Growthpoint's existing, modern, well-leased portfolio and are valued at nearly 16% of Growthpoint's existing portfolio. Growthpoint launched its offer to achieve several stated aims, including continuing to increase our scale and free float, increasing our New South Wales exposure from 20% to 25%, and increasing our metropolitan office exposure. The GMF portfolio is currently 94.9% leased versus Growthpoint's 99%, and has a 5.5-year WALE versus Growthpoint's at 6.9 years. Growthpoint has demonstrated its significant expertise in leasing, notably taking 333 Ann Street from 41% to 80% over FY16, and most recently leasing over 23,000 square metres to Country Road and David Jones. This expertise, coupled with the advantages of internalising management, should allow us to improve the metrics of what is already an excellent portfolio over the next few years. Slide 13 provides an overview of Growthpoint's equity capital. At 30 June 2016, Growthpoint had a market capitalisation of over $1.8 billion and a free float of over $600 million after excluding Growthpoint South Africa's 65.5% stake. Growthpoint's institutional register has been adjusting over the last few years away from South Africa to Australia and Asia. The executive management team has been spending more time with institutional investors in Australia and Asia, particularly over the last 2 years, and there is a high level of continued demand from investors in both continents. All of Growthpoint's directors and executive management, as well as a majority of other employees, hold securities in Growthpoint, and together this equates to nearly 1% of the register. Slide 14 shows the 63.2% increase in Growthpoint's trading price from 2012 and the steady increase in distributions each year, averaging 3.7% per annum over the last 5 years. 3.9% growth is currently forecast from FY16 to FY17. The distribution guidance for FY17 of 21.3 cents is before any changes that may result from a successful GMF takeover and any capital management initiatives that our CFO will talk more about shortly. Turning to slide 15. Growthpoint had a total return over the last five financial years of nearly 100% or 19.6% per annum, above the average sector average of 18% and the broader share market at 7.2% per annum. After a recent period of underperformance, substantially during the contested takeover for GMF during 2016, Growthpoint is now attractively priced considering the forecast accretions to earnings from completion of the GMF takeover, the FY17 distribution yield of 6.8% versus the AREIT sector average of 5.8%, and that Growthpoint is now trading at a 19% premium to NTA, well below the 44% average for the sector. Slide 16 highlights this high relative income yield of 6.8% based on our 30 June closing price and current distribution guidance of 0.213 per security. Again, before any adjustments that directors may make, primarily due to a successful GMF takeover. Even before any such adjustment, our current forecast yield is a full percentage point above the sector average. The graph on the right shows our relative trading premium to NTA versus the sector. For most of the last 5 years, Growthpoint has traded above the sector average, whereas it now trades well below. This difference should provide pricing support once the GMF takeover is resolved. Turning to slide 17. Over the 2016 financial year, Growthpoint continued its growth, maintained its strategy, and provided security holders with a 7.4% total return. We undertook significant engagement with current and potential investors and have responded to feedback received. We also developed our sustainability program and released our first standalone sustainability report. In 2017, we aim to build on this success and achieve or exceed our distribution guidance. Further details are available in our annual and sustainability reports, which were released earlier today. I will now hand over to Head of Property, Michael Green.
Thank you, Aaron. Turning to slide 19. Slide 19 provides an overview of the group's portfolio and a summary of the measured and deliberate manner in which the group has grown the portfolio over the last 5 years. Over the last 12 months, Growthpoint acquired 5 assets, with the total number of assets now 58. These acquisitions have further diversified the portfolio income base, which is now derived from 116 tenants as opposed to 97 a year ago. Positive leasing results have increased the occupancy of the portfolio to 99% from 97%, and despite a year having passed, the group have increased the portfolio WALE from 6.7 years to 6.9 years. Acquisitions and positive valuation gains have resulted in the portfolio increasing in value by $460 million over the last 12 months. Turning to slide 20. Slide 20 continues the portfolio overview. The important changes to Growthpoint's top 10 tenants over the last 12 months include the increased exposure to the Commonwealth of Australia by the acquisition of 255 London Circuit, Canberra. The group now derives 6% of income from the Australian government. Growthpoint have also added the ANZ Bank and Country Road, David Jones, as major tenants to the portfolio. Over the year, we have improved our lease expiry profile, with only 1% vacant currently, as opposed to 3% a year ago. FY18 potential expiries have been reduced from 9% to 4%, and FY19 potential expiries have reduced from 6% to 2%. FY15-16 like-for-like income growth was -1%, which was primarily due to a large vacancy at 333 Ann Street, Brisbane, early on in the financial year. With this excluded, like-for-like growth was 2.64%. We anticipate that like-for-like growth in financial year 17 will be positive as a result of the strong leasing undertaken over FY16, particularly within 333 Ann Street, and the income-enhancing property acquisitions made in FY15 being included in the next year. Turning to slide 21. Slide 21 provides a dissection of the group's property income sources. The group derives 82% of its income from Australia's 3 eastern seaboard states. The portfolio is now 56% office and 44% industrial by value. This will change post the GMF transaction. Moving to slides 22 and 23. Slides 22 and 23 provide details on the circa 99,000 square metres of leasing that Growthpoint have undertaken since the start of FY16. Notable results include 48,000 square metres of leasing within the group's industrial portfolio, resulting in the portfolio remaining 100% leased for a second year running. Circa 7,500 square metres of leasing within 333 Ann Street. The property is now approximately 80% leased as opposed to 41% a year ago. Over 15,000 square metres of space was leased within our SW1 complex, and over 23,000 square metres leased to Country Road, David Jones at our Richmond properties. This is an important leasing result for the group as it replaces our fourth largest tenant, GE Capital, whose lease ends in FY18 and represents 5% of Growthpoint's income, with David Jones, whose combined WALE will be 14.5 years. Moving to slide 24. Over the last 5 years, we have doubled the value of our office portfolio, which is now valued at approximately $1.6 billion. The office portfolio has a long WALE of 7.8 years and is 98% leased, up from 94% a year ago, and has limited lease expiries until 2020. Turning to slide 25. As part of the group's stated objective 12 months ago, we have actively grown our office portfolio. Excluding the previously mentioned GMF takeover, we have acquired three modern, well-leased office buildings. 75 Dorcas Street, South Melbourne, is a well-positioned A-grade office building predominantly leased to the ANZ Banking Group and Mondelez, with a WALE of 5.4 years. 255 London Circuit and Building C to 11 Wellington Road, Mulgrave, are both modern, highly green-credentialed office buildings and are leased to the Commonwealth of Australia and BMW Australia Finance, respectively. Turning now to slide 26. Growthpoint's 38-asset, $1.2 billion industrial portfolio is 100% leased with a WALE of 5.9 years and a weighted average capitalisation rate of 7.1%. The portfolio is fairly valued, and with 79% of the portfolio's assets driving income from either the retail or logistics sectors, the assets are well positioned to take advantage of the expansion of internet retailing-led logistics and storage. Moving now to slide 27. Early in FY16, we acquired two well-leased and relatively high-yielding modern industrial facilities, which combined to amount to $42.1 million of acquisitions. Both these transactions were made off-market, demonstrating Growthpoint's ability to find value. Turning to slide 28. Slide 28 summarises the uplift in the group's valuations to 30 June 2016. The portfolio increased $55 million on a like-for-like basis over the 6 months and $130 million over the 12 months, or 5.5% on a like-for-like basis. Key uplifts at 333 Ann Street of $10 million and 52 Maryvale Street of $5.3 million can be largely attributed to the positive leasing undertaken of these two buildings throughout the year. The weighted average market capitalisation rate of the group is now 6.9%, which is 40 basis points sharper than this time 12 months ago. Slide 29. Financial year 16 was another great year for the property portfolio, acquiring five assets to the value of $328 million with a weighted average lease expiry over the transactions of 7.2 years. 100% occupancy remains within the industrial portfolio, and the office portfolio is in, and its occupancy improved from 94% to 98% over the year. A number of major leases were entered into with quality tenants, including Country Road, MasterCard, Federation University, Jacobs Engineering, Fuji Xerox, Aurora, and the University of the Sunshine Coast. Focus for the future will remain strongly on tenant retention and attracting new tenants to the portfolio, as well as the smooth integration of the GMF portfolio onto Growthpoint's management platform. I will now hand over to our Chief Financial Officer, Dion Andrews.
Thanks, Michael. I'll be discussing the group's financial management for the year, with the key points being achieving our distribution guidance for the year, with distributable income per security of 21.9 cents being a 3.3% increase on the prior year, our NTA per security increasing 7.7% to $2.67, our gearing level of 42.6% at 30 June, The changes to our debt facilities, with total facilities now at 1.4% operating costs as a percentage of average gross assets decreasing to 0.4%. Turning to slide 31, I'll highlight the points of interest from our financial results for the year. Statutory profit was down 20.8% from the prior period, but this is due to the revaluation gains on investment property in this year being below that of the previous, noting that there were strong gains recorded in both years. Our preferred measurement is distributable income per security, which strips out revaluations on property and derivatives, and this figure increased to 21.9 cents per security, a 3.3% increase from the prior year. The 21.9 cents achieved was against guidance of at least 21.3 cents. This was a great outcome, considering two major tenants at 333 Ann Street vacated right at the end of last financial year. The higher figure was due to leasing success ahead of forecast at this property, and other contributors being property acquisitions and debt restructuring, which meant both an increase in net property income and a decrease to the cost of debt. Distributions per security increased 4.1% to 20.5 cents per security, the payout ratio remaining relatively stable at 93.7% compared to 93.1% in the prior year. The group examines its cash requirements on a prospective basis to help determine the correct payout ratio, always with the idea of returning as much income to investors as is prudent. We do not expect the payout ratio to fall below 90% in the short to medium term. Our interest cover ratio, which measures the number of times our net property income covers the group's interest expense, continues to expand and now sits at 4.1 times for the year. Our management expense ratio has reduced slightly from 0.41% to 0.4%, and I'll discuss that in more detail a little later on. NTA per security was up 7.7% since 30 June 2015. The $2.67 per security result translates to Growthpoint trading at a 19% premium to NTA, which is significantly lower than the sector average premium of 44%. Balance sheet gearing increased to 42.6%, up from 37% at 30 June 2015, and remains within our target gearing range of 35 to 45%. Turning now to slide 32, we can see the components that made up the 19 cents increase in NTA per security. The movement is almost entirely due to strong property revaluations witnessed in the year, with retained earnings rounding out the rest. NTA per security growth would have been greater still, but for the requirement to write off significant costs on properties acquired during the year, which totaled $14.8 million. I'll now spend a moment outlining the effect of debt transactions that occurred during the year, as shown on slides 33 and 34. To recap, in December 2015, the group issued $250 million of new 7-year fixed debt at an all-in rate of 4.46% per annum. This debt was issued to three new financiers, two banks and a life insurer, all based offshore. This increased the diversity of lenders to Growthpoint in line with one of our stated goals. Combined with the $200 million of 10-year fixed debt issued in March 2015, 36% of all drawn debt is now from offshore parties via long-term fixed-rate loans. Growthpoint also took the opportunity to reorganise and extend its swap book in December. To facilitate the fixed debt issuance, we reduced the value of the swap book by $115 million, which brought the total level of fixed debt to 81% at that time. Due to these transactions, the year-end debt metrics for the group were an all-in cost of debt of 4.1% per annum, down from 4.8% in the prior year. The weighted average maturity of debt is down half a year to 4.2 years, despite 12 months having passed. And the weighted average maturity of fixed debt was up to 5.7 years. Total debt facilities increased to $1.38 billion, of which $127 million was undrawn at 30 June. During the year, the group utilised a further $351 million of debt to acquire five quality properties. Using this debt with interest rates at record lows has helped support distribution growth. A large proportion of the new debt has been fixed for 7 years, meaning that this driver of distribution growth is sustainable over the medium to longer term growth. Fixed debt as a proportion of total debt has reduced to 65% at 30 June 2016. The group is waiting the final outcome of our takeover of GMF and will act to bring the fixed debt percentage back into the group's target range of 75 to 100% post the takeover closing, either by entering new swaps, new fixed debt instruments, or by selling properties or raising equity, of which I'll expand on further in a moment. Turning now to slide 35, we can see the group continues to lower its management expense ratio, or total operating expenses as a percentage of average gross assets, down to 0.4% for the year ended 30 June 2016. Based on the current portfolio makeup, we expect that ratio to remain around that level, but will work to reduce it further where possible. Capital expenditure as a percentage of the average property portfolio value remained low at just 0.28%. This is due to the modern nature of the office portfolio and a high component of industrial properties that generally cost less to maintain to a high standard. This is part of the reason that the group is able to maintain a relatively high payout ratio for distribution. The table on slide 36 provides a great summary of the group's progression over the past 5 years, with distributions per security increasing steadily year on year, one of the key aims of the group. Another interesting point has been the group's rapid increase in market capitalisation, approaching $2 billion at 30 June. The group is included in the S&P 200 index with a free float of $634 million. This table really supports our execution of stated strategy and the fact that we deliver on what we say we are going to do. For FY17, that is to increase the distribution by 3.9% to 21.3 cents per security, off of distributable income of at least 22.2 cents per security. I note that this does not include the impact of the GMF takeover, which, depending on the timing of closing it and other capital management initiatives, will add to distributable income per security for the group. To summarise, it's been another excellent financial result for Growthpoint. Increasing distributable income, increasing distributions per security, and increasing NTA all point to a healthy operation which should provide growing distributions into the future. Increasing the diversity of debt whilst lowering its costs will aid in this aim. The strength of Growthpoint was endorsed as Moody's reaffirmed their Baa2 rating with a stable outlook on the group's senior secured debt during the year. With the GMF takeover expected to complete in the near future, Growthpoint will need to look at capital initiatives as gearing is expected to go above our target range as a result. To reduce gearing, we will consider property disposals, raising equity to the distribution reinvestment plan, or other equity raisings. Once these transactions are further progressed, updated guidance will be provided to the market. I'll now hand over to Tim for some concluding remarks.
Thank you, Dion. I'll move to slide 39, the focus for the year ahead. We obviously aim to increase distributions to security holders, and over the last 6 years, with guidance for this year, Growthpoint will have delivered 3.9% per annum distribution growth, coupled with a strong return on equity. And you'll see a table in the presentation with our return on equity. It has been very strong for quite some time, 15.9% in financial year 2016. Increasing the distributions is our primary goal as manager of the business, to grow earnings through growth in rents under leases, by undertaking accretive acquisitions, by disposing of assets that don't meet our return requirements over the long term, and by financing this growth appropriately. We will carefully expand and diversify the property portfolio. One point on that, we do evaluate billions of dollars of transactions each year, but obviously don't acquire that level of investment. So we are selective about the assets we look at. We seek to acquire property that enhances the quality and returns of the portfolio, including improving diversification. By way of example, the GMF takeover will improve Growthpoint's New South Wales and office exposure, where we believe returns will outperform other markets. Secondly, the modern A-grade office assets are complementary to Growthpoint's. there has been no dilution of asset quality. And finally, we have added great tenants which weren't part of our portfolio in Growthpoint, such as Samsung, Lion, Optus and so forth. Tenants that are new to the property portfolio and which operate in different growth sectors of the economy. We've discussed the GMF takeover and we aim to complete that in welcoming the GMF unit holders that have taken scrip as part of this consideration and have become Growthpoint security holders. As discussed before, there are considerable strategic portfolio and financial benefits to this transaction, including greater free float and market capitalisation. We seek to enhance the existing property assets. This is fundamentally important, and we have a good track record of renewing and extending leases, maintaining high occupancy. You can see over the five-year history there, between 98-odd percent and 100%, and a long WALE. In fact, we've increased our WALE this year, as we've noted. Focus will also be on divesting non-core assets into a strong and competitive investment property market and positioning assets with development, expansion, or a change of use to drive a higher value. In particular, due to the successful leasing of Building 1 and 2 at Richmond, we can now concentrate on design development and obtaining pre-commitments for an approved 18,000 square metre office development at Richmond in the lead up to GE vacating the property in early 2018. So an exciting $100 million project there for Growthpoint to work on. Borrow prudently. Gearing may be slightly outside Growthpoint's target range post the GMF acquisition, and we will look to reduce this over time through a range of capital management initiatives which Dion discussed. Operate sustainably. Growthpoint has had a greater focus on sustainability over the last 12 months than previous, and we have produced our first sustainability report. And I encourage you to all read this document. We will work towards our sustainability objectives, whether they be at the property level, involving our corporate governance practices, social responsibilities, and diversity. We view ownership of property as a long-term investment, and we take this focus about long-term value versus short-term profit. So we apply similar principles to sustainability as we do in investing long-term in property. In summary, the performance of the group was very good, with the GMF acquisition to be bedded down in the next few months. We can look forward to consolidating strong returns from the Growthpoint property portfolio. Growthpoint's distribution yield, growth prospects, and premium to NTA per security are now attractively priced versus the sector. The board of management have a positive view going forward. Thank you for your attendance today. We will now take questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press the star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the star key followed by the number two. We will now take our first question from Shota McConaughey from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Oh, good day, team. Just a couple of ones. I noticed in the accounts post balance date, you've withdrawn the assets held for sale. There's 152 mil held for sale. You've sold 9.1 million of those are one asset. Why did you remove the other four held for sale?
Yes, so we had a industrial property portfolio for sale. We had a joint party in due diligence on that property at an acceptable price. One of the parties withdrew, and the other party wanted to proceed for half the portfolio. the board made the decision not to sell that half and to withdraw the portfolio from sale. You may know that the portfolio included the Woolworths Wodonga property, and in more recent times we have been in discussions and plan to be in further discussions with Woolworths, so you know, with the aim of extending that lease at that property. That was a sort of second reason for holding the property and withdrawing that portfolio from sale.
And when does the Wodonga lease come up again? When does that expire?
That's July 2021.
July 2021, okay.
Another 5 years remaining.
Yeah, and then just on the like-for-like, what are you sort of guiding to? Just on the guidance, you've had like 328 mil of acquisitions, so I'm just trying to understand why the guidance is quite low. So is it because you've got some, you know, 5% of your industrial portfolio rolling over, and that's going to kill some of the growth there? Or I'm just trying to reconcile why there's pretty low distributable earnings guidance.
Well, the distributable income guidance is 22.2. I mean, we're always, it's at least
22.2.
We always try to stay on the conservative side. Part of the impact is the incentives that are now running through the portfolio. Back in the 333 Ann Street property from 41% to 80%, that obviously adds to your income. But obviously incentives are still at an elevated level in the Brisbane market, and that does have some impact on your like-for-like income growth. So 22.2 before any GMF takeover, but that's an at-least figure.
Yeah, it's also worth noting, Sholto, that guidance number also assumed a sale. So as Leon said, we're out considering other options at the moment, and that may have an impact on guidance. So what we intend to do is wait for the GMF timing and outcome to be known, and then work out what we're going to do on the capital management side, which may include selling some other assets and release revised guidance at that point.
So just to be clear, that included the guidance, 22.2 included that 152 mil of industrial sales in it.
That's right, and selling those industrial properties from an income point of view is dilutive, but we thought the sale would be of strategic benefit. Obviously, that didn't occur, and we're now assessing other assets which may be available for sale as well.
So on the like-for-like, for the, what are you sort of guiding to in the portfolio for the full year? You said positive, but it'd obviously be pretty strong, you know, sort of 2.5-3%.
We're not having guidance on the like-for-like out there at the moment, Sholter.
Okay. And then just finally, what's the cost of debt are you assuming for 17 in your guidance?
So at 30 June, it's 4.1% per annum. Again, as we discussed, there are some capital management initiatives that we need to look at. So to give you an idea, using the $126 million of debt that we haven't utilised or is undrawn at the moment, costs us less than 3%. But we're looking at other long-term debt potentially. The market for that is very good at the moment, and it just depends on what we replace with our current debt, or if it's more debt and other capital management initiatives. So 4.1% going forward, it's very cheap to use the $126 million we have available to us. But again, that answer will depend on, there's a lot of water to pass on the bridge with this transaction and other initiatives to go on.
Sorry, just finally, and on the transaction, have you spoken to Centuria about their stake, and are they accepting into the proposal at this stage?
No, we haven't had contact with Centuria. I suppose at the end of the day, it's a decision for themselves. But if I was in their shoes, and there was very strong acceptance, and the offer was going to close, I probably wouldn't want to be sitting in a minority position in another fund that someone else manages with low liquidity. So that would be my view, and we would think that, they would take a similar type view.
Well, that's great. Thanks for your time. Thank you.
Thanks, Shelton.
I'll take our next question from Darren Leung from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. Just exploring the outlook comment a bit further. So obviously, as Aaron mentioned, the industrial portfolio is dilutive to your FY17 earnings. But isn't that more or less offset by the acquisition of 75 Stalker Street, which sort of settled back end of 16? So I imagine the full-year impact in 17, there's obviously Building C at 211 Wellington Road coming online as well, sort of mid-year. Is there anything else that we're sort of missing in our thinking in terms of the outlook as to why the growth isn't a little bit more?
The industrial portfolio yields a bit over 8%, whereas the acquisition of Dorcas Street was in the sixes, so there's a bit there. You're correct about the timing of Mulgrave coming on in the next quarter or so.
Yeah, I mean, as always, as Dion said, Darren, we are fairly conservative in our guidance, and there is that at least there. The key reason why we haven't, you know, updated the market is because we don't want to put out one number and then go out a few weeks later with another number when things change. So I don't necessarily think you're missing anything. I think, you know, when there's an appropriate point in time, we'll come out with new guidance, and that will be coming up.
Yeah, that forecast sale that's no longer going to happen did have the biggest impact on that being a little lower than you may expect.
Okay, that's clear. Just another one quickly. On the balance sheet, capitalised incentives increased about 4.9 mil. Can you guys give us any insight into what the gross level paid was? That's obviously a net number for amortisation.
I can come back to you, Darren. From memory, again, the amortisation, so if you add back the amortisation, you get the gross figure, was about $1.5 million, I think, from memory for the year, but I can confirm that for you.
Sure. So call it $6.5 million gross paid for the period. The other one I had as well was just on corporate costs, up about $400,000 over the half, or half on half, second half versus first half. Can you give us any indication as to what was the driver here?
Yeah, I can take that one again. So there are some costs. We did have some new staff members starting in the second half compared to the first, which is always our largest cost. But as also, as you get closer to the end of the year and our performance, you know, went pretty well, we got up to the 21.9%. There are further accruals related to bonus pools and the like that will not be made until the end of the financial year. So when you true that up towards the end of the year with the new staff members as well, that would be the reason for that increase.
Okay. And just the final one, there's obviously a lot of, I mean, I think it was referenced a few times in the presentation, in terms of using asset disposals as a way of managing the balance sheet. What particular assets would you be looking at in terms of a potential disposal?
We'll come out when the time's appropriate on that one. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dan.
Again, as a reminder to ask a question today, please press star one. We will now take our next question from Lauren Berry from Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, team. Just wondering your thoughts on potential for further cap rate compression in your portfolio and whether that could potentially be enough to get you under the 45% gearing target limit.
Yeah, we still are seeing selected sales in the market, particularly for very long-term leased assets, coming down. And there's been a few transactions where we think, you know, perhaps over the last 3 to 6 months, yields may have even firmed more. That went throughout the market, though. I generally think that the market has gone a bit quieter, and there's not the evidence of transaction there was, say, in the previous 6 months or the previous 12 months. So it is a bit hard to tell. But it could be possible, you know, there may be another 25 basis points. It just depends where our domestic interest rates go. It depends where our bond rates go and what happens in the US, whether they start lifting. And it would appear that inflationary outcomes are still going to be low going forward. Wages growth, I was reading about grocery prices again today. They're in deflationary situation. So with basically lower for longer, there is no impetus for cap rates to go back up at this point in time. So I think they'll stay low. Whether they'll go down much further is to be seen. And I suppose if we look at the next 12 months, I would be interested to see who is buying those properties. And typically offshore parties have different costs of capitals relative to the Australian, say, REITs and wholesale investors. So I think if we see the offshores continue to dominate investment in Australia, there could be possibility that cap rates could go lower, because, as I say, generally speaking, they have very low costs of capitals.
One thing I'll add to that, now that the industrial portfolio sale is off the table, though, that the revaluation through property compression yields won't be enough to get us below the 45% in the absence of other property sales. So now that that's off the table, we'll need to take some form of capital action, whether it be other sales or equity raising.
Okay.
Our strategy for that, and when looking at our gearing, won't rely on any valuation gain whatsoever.
Okay, great, thanks. And on office, you gave us the 2.6% like-for-like NPI growth across the portfolio if you exclude 333N. Do you have a sense of what the like-for-like growth would have been just in the office assets, excluding 333N?
Yes, we do have that number.
We've done the analysis. We don't have it to hand.
I'll circulate that after, Lauren.
Okay, sure. And just on the Brisbane market, you've managed to get quite a few deals away. Just wondering if you thought there's been any improvement in leasing conditions versus where the market was 6 months ago?
I think it's a pretty similar market to where it was 6 months ago. We've got similar sort of inquiry levels on for the balance of our space at 333 Ann Street. Some groups are adding sublease space to the market, other groups are withdrawing it. So I don't think it's improved massively. I think what's good is that the deal's being done. There is good deal flow. We're not the only ones who are doing leasing there. But I think the impact of some of the new buildings coming online is likely to be felt by some of the space where tenants are leaving from. So with 480 Queen Street, for example, now up and running, the Grollo leases that they hold as part of that deal, they're quite active trying to get rid of some of that backfill space. So that will have further impact on the market there, I think. But the government is more active than it was 12 months ago, that's for sure. So that they are absorbing more space, they're growing. So as a sort of counter to the 480 Queen Street, you do have the government being a lot more active, and they're a major tenant in Brisbane.
A couple of other things I'll just add on that. We've had good demand from education, the education sector. So we have put universities in both 333 Ann Street and our SW1 complex in South Brisbane. So education, with the dollar coming down, universities expanding has been a good market. I'd just further like to point out that, for some time, people have looked at Growthpoint and we've always had a very high occupancy rate, and then they're pointed to, you've got problems at 333 Ann Street. Well, we only have 1% vacancy in the whole of the portfolio. Our SW1 property is fully let. The WALE's over 7 years. We've leased up to 80% of 333 Ann Street. We have had probably one of the best records in the Brisbane market, and we don't really have an issue in Brisbane whatsoever. So that any headwinds that people think Growthpoint might have had in the Brisbane market, we simply don't have them. We have very well leased, very well modern properties with fantastic tenants with growing income. So we're very well set in that market. Even though it has been a difficult market, we do acknowledge that.
Okay, great. Thanks.
There are no further questions from the telephone. I'd now like to turn the call back to your host for any additional or closing remarks.
We have just had a question via our email line about our leasehold properties and interested to understand the airport properties, industrial properties, the length of the leaseholds and the possible lease cost increase of those leaseholds. I'll hand over to Michael Green.
Yeah, sure. So we hold 10 airport leasehold assets, 6 at Melbourne Airport, 2 at Brisbane and 2 at Adelaide Airport, respectively. They amount to about 4.7% by value of our portfolio, so they've sort of been a diminishing factor within our portfolio as we've grown the portfolio and diversified away from them. So the value is about $134 million. Those airport leases for Brisbane and Melbourne set to expire in 2047, so they have, and at Adelaide Airport, it's 2048. However, provided the Adelaide Airport exercise their option for a 49-year lease extension, we also have rights to exercise an option. So it's 32 plus 48 years. In relation to lease cost increases, it's really on a case-by-case basis. Some of our we've had a number of them revert to market reviews, which typically happens as a tenant lease expires with one of our tenants. And so we've had some good results where rents have sort of stayed the same or gone backwards and vice versa. We've had a couple of results where leasehold rents have increased. So across the portfolio, you'd say they're they just increased in line with the rental increases that we get through our leases, which are typically between 3 and 3.75%.
I don't think there's any other questions, so if there's not, we might conclude. And thank you very much, everyone, for attending. And, I hope from our comments that you know we're happy with our progress and very confident about the future. And we look forward to talking to you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.